Welcome to The Informed Chiropractor, where the art and science of chiropractic care meets the cutting-edge insights of neuroscience. Hello and welcome. I'm Dr. Don McDonald, and it's my pleasure to bring you a podcast dedicated to the chiropractors who are not just about treating pain, but about making a profound impact on the nervous systems of their practice members. Here at The Informed Chiropractor, our mission is to blend the timeless principles of chiropractic care with the revolutionary insights of the polyvagal theory. In every episode, whether it's a deep solo session or an engaging conversation with fellow chiropractors from around the world, we'll explore the practical applications of these principles in real-world settings. From case studies to the latest research, our goal is to empower you to make a bigger, more informed impact on the people that you serve. So whether you're looking to deepen your understanding, redefine your technique, simply inspired to learn how others are making a bigger impact, you're in the right place. Let's embark on this journey of enhancing our practices, our communities, and the lives of the people we touch one nervous system at a time. Thank you for joining me on The Informed Chiropractor. Let's get started. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Informed Chiropractor. Today, I have the pleasure of interviewing an amazing chiropractor who practices in Stratford, Ontario. She's been in practice for 21 years. Her name is Dr. Tanya Chambers, and she practices with her amazing husband, Dr. Mike Chambers. And what she's going to share with us on the podcast today is how she had her quick start, how she went from a small office and they blew up to a massive office with multi-practitioners, massage therapists, acupuncturists, and all that kind of stuff. And she's also going to share with us how she's implemented some of the principles from the polyvagal theory. She's attended both the McDonald Safety Corridor Protocol Level 1 and 2 and our polyvagal team event that Brandy taught. And so she's just going to go over some of her learnings from the polyvagal theory and how she's implemented it in practice to help improve patient care. So I hope you enjoy the episode.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode. This is Dr. Don McDonald, your host. And today I get to have an amazing chiropractor come to us from Ontario, and her name is Dr. Tanya Chambers. I have possibly said her name wrong for about very many years, and so I'm embarrassed about that. But now, at least now, I'll always call her Dr. Tanya, so I know that now. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here, Don. This is great.
This is awesome. We get to see you lots of different events and stuff, and you're in our group. We get to see you guys helping tons of people in your practice. And so I just wanted to get a little bit more of your story and share it with the people that are out there. So, like I like to do with all my guests, is just get your story of what interested you in this crazy profession in the first place.
Yeah, I knew you were going to ask me this, Don, because I've listened to all your podcasts and this is it, right? The chiropractic story.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've heard so many stories over the years, as I'm sure you have too, you know, of all these like miracle healing events and big aha moments that people had and, you know, how they got into chiropractic. And for me, it was never a big story. So I've never really talked about it or shared it, like other than with Mike and my family and stuff. But as I was kind of going through all the details of it, I feel like I was just kind of nudged into chiropractic in so many ways. And I finally listened and, you know, that's what got me there. But it's not like a big miraculous story or anything. I knew I wanted to get into some kind of healthcare when I was in school still. So, and even in high school, like I loved science, you know, biology was my favorite. I love the thought of helping people. And I think I was kind of pushed towards medicine and I didn't really know if that really fit me. I didn't like the idea of being on call or, you know, having crazy shifts. And, you know, I couldn't imagine how that would work having a family. And I just wanted to have a family and live the dream and just have a regular day job. Like I didn't want to be doing all that extra craziness of medicine. So although I had it at the back of my mind all the time, and I was thinking more of pediatrics because I loved kids. And so from high school, I knew I wanted to go to university. That just kind of pushed me into that. I was thinking initially science, of course. And then I was working in my senior years as a lifeguard. And so I feel like that was kind of a pivotal point for me because I loved like life-saving and learning about the human body and, you know, what it's capable of and first aid and, you know, all the systems that you get to learn at a young age. So I lifeguarded for quite a bit. And then I also did like swimming instructing with little kids. And I loved it. Like I love teaching kids and helping kids. And my manager at the pool that I worked at, she was a kinesiology grad. And so she talked me out of going into science and to go into kin. So I went to kin at McMaster University. So that's in Ontario here in Canada. And I loved it. It was all human body focused, right? So I thought no matter what I do, I'll have that background of more human based science. So I went through kin and I still didn't really know what I wanted to do. I graduated with that first degree. I was leaning towards physiotherapy because I thought it would be, you know, a better lifestyle for me. So I worked at a couple of physiotherapy clinics and I didn't like it. No, and I mean, don't get me wrong. We have a really good friend who's a physiotherapist and, you know, he works in our office and he does great work. And I just, but the clinic that I was working at was an OHIP based clinic back in the day, right? So it was just a ton of people coming in with car accidents and pain focused and nobody ever was happy and no one ever got better. And my job was to like, put the ice pack on the back and then the physio came and put the TENS unit on. And then, you know, I reviewed some stretches and they were gone. Like there was no connection. There was no talking to people. Mm. It was just very, I don't know, it was just mechanical and medical, you know, like I just didn't, nobody was really happy.
So grumpy.
Yeah, it just wasn't the profession that I wanted. But I didn't really know what else to do. So I applied to physio. And in the meantime, I thought I'd travel. I just wanted to get away. I was kind of didn't know what I wanted. I needed to learn a little bit more about myself, I think. And I went to Europe for like 4 months by myself. That was a big pivotal moment for me too, just to backpack and discover. And this was before GPS, right? Before cell phones.
Before cell phones.
Oh my gosh. Like maps. I just looked at maps and I stood in train stations and used payphones and figured it all out, right? Like it's crazy how much things have changed. But I thought that was a big learning curve for me. But I do remember talking to my mom on the phone and she had opened my mail because I wasn't home and it was a rejection letter from physio. Oh. And I was devastated because I always did so well in everything. You know, I had never failed at anything like that. And at the time I was devastated, but I knew there's just something in my heart that I knew. I'm like, good. That's the decision that was made. I didn't want to go to that path, right? So, so then, yeah, I learned, I traveled, I came back to Canada, and then I worked with a chiropractor who lived just down the street from us. So it was my mom's chiropractor at the time. And I don't even remember why she ended up going to him to see him, but he needed some extra help at the front desk. And so I kind of started to learn from him what it was all about. It wasn't one of those offices that I was really inspired by, but I knew that people coming in there really loved being there. And my mom really loved going. And I just thought, this is nice energy. Like it just felt good. So I kind of dove into that and I talked to him a lot more about it. And he's like, you should just apply, go to school. And so that's what happened. So I went to CMCC and the rest is kind of history. Actually, you know what else was really important is my first week at CMCC, the first girl that I met, my first friend, we're still friends now. She was dating an upper year student. So he was in second year. Mm-hmm. So she already had kind of an in to, you know, what was going on at the school. And he was in this group called the Circle of Innate. Ooh. And at the time, I'm like, what? Like, what are we talking about here? This is CMCC, right? So she said, you should come. We should go, you know, we should find out what these guys are talking about. So it was just us like at people's houses. So we got together and it was just all about questioning the status quo, like questioning the science, questioning what was going on at our school, questioning, you know, what we are as chiropractors. And it was such a great group. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Michael Chambers was in that group, and he's my future husband at the time. And that's how we met. Was
that's how so you met?
Is that mostly, that's how we met. Yeah.
So, was he your head of you as well?
Yeah. Mike? Yeah. So yeah. He was friends with this girlfriend that I just met initially. And so they invited us into this group. And then that's where we just learned what chiropractic actually was. We had our, you know, CMCC training, but then we also had a good support group. And we brought in speakers. There was this, I guess it was a student-led club at the time. It was called Friends in Chiropractic.
Yeah.
And they invited outside speakers in who were all in practice, like principled chiropractors who were in practice. And so I learned a lot from them. It was always at night. It was always, you know, after the school was closed or off campus.
Yeah.
And I just got exposed really early to principled chiropractic. So I'm so grateful for that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the rest is kind of history. So Mike and I got together and then we decided we wanted to practice together. And that's where we are now.
That's cool. So when you're going through school and you're learning about all this stuff at night and then going to school during the day, and it might've been slightly different philosophy and, you know, during the day, how was that for you?
It was everything that I didn't expect to have to do that. You know, going to school, you think, oh, you're just going to learn everything you need to know there.
Yeah.
And I was learning a lot about science, you know, and about the basics of everything, but there was nothing about practice. There was nothing about what it was to be a chiropractor. There was nothing about the principles of chiropractic. So yeah, I feel like we got all of our education on that outside of school. And we start like right from first year. Like I went to New Beginnings in first year. Like that was for me huge to go down to the States on a bus trip. You know, we went to Cairo Games at the time, was kind of like Cairo Olympics. Did you guys have Cairo?
I did do that. Where did you go to that?
We went to New York Chiropractic College for that.
Yeah.
I was a swimmer. So we competed. We did really well. But it was fun. Like that was just kind of, you know, stepping outside of CMCC was probably the best part of CMCC, looking back on that, right?
That is fun. Yeah, I know. I remember I had a Cairo Games in Dallas, Texas, and then the Cairo Games at Palmer. And like, yeah. So I did two of them. So that's cool. So you got into practice, and how did practice go at first? Did you just kind of blow up right away? Did it take a little while? Like, was it a big learning curve? How was the first few years of practice?
It was good because, well, for me, I was pretty lucky because Mike was a year ahead of me, and he is, if you know Mike, he's a go-getter. Like he's a man who takes action immediately. So,
and just for people out there that don't know, this is the guy that flies his own plane to our seminar in Montreal. Like,
that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. So I'm kind of the dreamer, and I come up with ideas and stuff we want to do. And he's just like, all right, I'll do that like yesterday. So he takes action. And so he had a lot of ideas of kind of what he wanted to do. He wanted to own his own business, and I was all for that. And so he graduated a year ahead. So he started just before I did. And so, but we built out a business together. So we basically renovated this big old house. So he was doing most of the renovations while I was in my internship, like in my last year of school. So I was traveling back and forth. But he's really hands-on and he loves to do that kind of stuff. So he did a lot of that and saved us a lot too. And then we had this little tiny apartment on the second floor of that building, and we lived there for a couple of years. So that was kind of our first start. And we knew going into to Stratford. So we opened in his hometown in Stratford. We knew that starting from scratch and being so young and experienced, that we had to get out into the community. Like he had to re-meet everybody that he hadn't seen for 10 years and let people know that we're there. And that's all we did. Like we did home shows and wellness screens and any little health show that we could find in town, any opportunity, we found it. And we were out in the community a lot. So one of the first big events that we did together was called a women's wellness event. And Mike was on stage. So he did a little talk on chiropractic and health, and that really boosted us. We got a lot of great new patients from that. And then we knew we had to do a big push at the beginning, and we did, and it paid off. So we worked really hard. Those were crazy years for sure.
I know, because so many people at the beginning, you just can't open your door. Like, it's just, no. You're not going to be able to just open it, put up a shingle, and you're going to be busy, right? You got it. You got to do some work, right? Exactly. And so when you're doing all that activity, was it kind of like for the first, say, 5 years, or like how long did it take you be more like a hard push to kind of get things going?
Yeah, I'd say five to 10 years for sure. Yeah. We had some really good motivation from a guy that we did some coaching with while we were still in school too. Like, I feel like we just started everything so early, like in school still.
Yes.
Do you know John Whitney? Do you know the name?
I've heard the name. Yeah, I heard the name.
Yeah. So Michelle is Whitney is a chiropractor here in Ontario. She's in Guelph.
Yes,
it's her, I know. Her dad.
Oh.
And so he did he called it Whitney Transitions. So basically it was like a coaching program for students transitioning into practice. And he was the only person at that time, even now, I feel like with coaching, that really talked about how you have to basically, you're running a business, right? The things that you need to do to run a business in terms of customer service and, you know, where to put the garbage can and reducing your number of steps from table to table and putting yourself out there. Like, he was so honest with how hard it is to start a practice. Like, he gave us every little step along the way, having systems, what to say, what your staff say when that person walks right in the door, you know, greeting people, all those little things that, I mean, you guys do a great job with coaching through systems too, but just, we started that right from day one.
That's like, so good.
He was so transformative for us for that. And then we actually helped him with his program. So we brought younger years into his program as well. And we kept with him. So we went through his whole program quite a few times in like 4 or 5 years that we were there. So we heard it over and over. Like, it was really ingrained into our subconscious about how important like service is in chiropractic, right? Taking care of people, not just with our hands, but like as a business. Right.
100%. What
it means to be that successful. So yeah, so that was really helpful for us in starting. And I think it really gave us a good boost to growing pretty quickly too in practice.
Well, I think chiropractic in business is just like a sports. I always play basketball. So I think I always think of like sports and how it's kind of, success is kind of boring because you just need to keep going back to the basics. So sometimes you need to hear those things over and over and over again until it becomes just ingrained. And it that can be challenging for some chiropractors that are maybe shiny object syndrome, that like, okay, I did that, that's boring, what's the next thing? And then you never really get like really concrete on those basic principles.
Yeah.
But that's so good that you start right away with that.
Yeah, it was, yeah. So we had that first building that we renovated, we were there for, oh gosh, till 2005, so 5 years, about 5 years. And then we outgrew it. Like, we had 2 massage therapists in with us. There were 2 of us. Our apartment, we thought would be great space for more offices, but it wasn't really accessible. Like, it was an old stairwell going up and all that. So next big project was building our current office. So we moved into that in 2008, we built that.
Yeah.
So yeah, we've been there for ever since then. So it's just a larger space. We have 2 other chiropractors join us. There's 4 now, and we have 3 massage therapists and our physio, and then a naturopathic office. Like, she rents space from us. So her office is completely separate. She's got her own staff and everything, but yeah, part of our team. So yeah, it's busy, you know, running a business side of things is definitely busy when we have lots of practitioners, but I don't think I could do it by myself, and I don't think Mike could do it by himself, but we work together, right? So it's we're a team.
We get that question a lot too. So like, as being a husband, wife team, running a business, like, me and Brandy said, well, we just know because I'm the chiropractor and she runs the front and manages staff and all that stuff. How does that work? Did that take some time to figure out what lanes to be in and how to communicate? Like, how did you guys address that working together, husband, wife?
Yeah, like, it's always learning curve. Like, we still run into challenges. Totally. Yeah, I think over the years, we've just learned that we have our strengths, and we have to let go to the other person their strengths. So, yeah. I mean, we are both so involved with so much, and we communicate on all decisions. But yeah, we have things that we tend to like to do more, right? So it's just kind of worked out that way.
That's
and we
good.
have a really strong and committed and loyal office manager. She's been with us for like 17 years now.
Oh, wow.
And she's so amazing because she can take care of so much that we used to, you know, be all nitpicky over, right? Like with staff training and hiring and just the day-to-day running of the office, she's got such a great handle on it. So she's so, so critical for us for sure.
That's awesome. And what would you do? Cause this is always the question too, is separating business from the relationship. So do you guys like make sure you carve out time where you have like, sometimes we try to do like a no office talk day or like, what do you guys do to kind of keep that?
I think we're still working on that one.
Well, we do that and you kind of fall back on it every time, but we're
still... Yeah. Like we definitely still have to prioritize us time and date night and all that. But
yeah,
no matter what, the conversation always circles back to our office or something going on there or something we have to figure out. Mm-hmm. But that's just the way it's always been for us. Like it's part of us, right? Like right. I don't, obviously if it's something stressful or it's, you know, a big deal that we're trying to figure out, we're not going to talk about that over dinner. But if, I don't know, it's just constant. It's constant conversation, right? Your business together and things that come, there's so many wheels that are running at the same time. We just have to kind of keep on top of things too, right?
100%. Yeah, no, that's what we find too, is that like, the thing is that when you're both passionate about something, I find it's okay. Like you don't necessarily need to have totally separate time because you can't really compartmentalize your life. And so you try to focus on things away from the office, give yourself a break, but like, it seeps in all the time. Like it's pretty hard not to like talk about stuff that you really like. Right. So.
Totally. But that's why we like, we're also so grateful too, that we both are so passionate about chiropractic and we're in this together. Like I'm sure that's how you guys feel too, that when you do things like when we go to Montreal to see you guys, like we love that time away because it's that's what brought us together. Like we're not talking about the office, but we're talking about chiropractic, right? That's kind of what our lives are. So
that's awesome. Now, just coming into stuff what we've been doing lately with the polyvagal theory, I'm just very curious because you've come to quite a few of our events, and again, you've implemented that, some of those principles into your practice. I was just curious, when was the first time you heard about the polyvagal theory?
Oh gosh, you're putting me on the spot here. I don't know.
Just curious.
When you guys started talking about it, so was it maybe 4 years ago or so, somewhere mm-hmm. around there.
Yeah.
I had actually come across Stephen Porges's name just through looking at podcasts. Like he kind of came up and I heard about him through different like psychology type of podcasts, right? And parenting, like that comes up a lot too in terms of, you know, understanding your kids and different parenting strategies and stuff. So the name I had recognized, but I didn't really know how it would apply to chiropractic or what it had anything to do with chiropractic. So you guys definitely helped to make that clear to me in terms of how it impacts everything. It impacts all relationships, but we can really use it to apply our skills too.
Mm-hmm. And so going through some of the stuff that we've had, what are some of the learnings that you've had as far as applying the polyvagal theory to possibly your practice or your life? Like what kind of things? Because we always talk about chiropractic principles are still chiropractic principles, and the polyvagal lens just almost like gives us maybe a little bit different language, but it's very aligned to the principles of chiropractic. And I'm just curious kind of what are some of the things that you found that have been beneficial looking at chiropractic through a polyvagal lens?
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough because I feel like in school, you know, we were ingrained to really embrace the art and the science and the philosophy, right? Like to me, that's what chiropractic is, you know, art, science, and philosophy. And we talked about that all the time, even at CMCC, they talk about that and all the conferences we go to over the years, right? And I always kind of question, you know, somebody who is so good at technique, say, you know, the art of chiropractic, they're an amazing technician. They've, you know, got such great clinical skills. sometimes those people aren't really the best practitioners, you know, or they're maybe not the best communicators, or they're not the best yet explaining it in layman's terms to a patient, right? Like there was always a disconnect there for me, or, you know, someone who's mastered the principles and knows everything about, you know, BJ and the Green Book and how,
and the 33 principles.
Exactly. Yeah. And they can say them word for word and it just makes sense. And I'm like, yeah, but your patients hear that from you? Are they understanding that? Does that even matter? Like, does that matter to our patients? I don't think necessarily it does, but I mean, obviously the principle of chiropractic is foundational, but do they need to understand the principle to heal? Do they need that? And then maybe some people do, right? But I'll never forget, Mike and I were at a conference. I think, I don't remember where it was, honestly. It was down in the States somewhere. And we were sitting around a table having lunch with some other more senior chiropractors. So we would have been like in our 20s, right?
Yeah.
And the discussion around the table was, you know, explaining chiropractic, you know, in less than a minute to a layperson. Like, what would you say? You know, what's your sentence? What do people say if you have to explain it really quickly to somebody? And we went around the table, you know, all the chiropractors were explaining. And this one guy, I don't know who it was. It was some doc. And he said, chiropractic just is. And Mike and I looked at each other and we're like, is what? And he's like, that you don't even need to go any further. It just is. And he was so certain. He was so certain with that. And I'm like, oh, that's great. That's great. That's what he's got. But it didn't sit with me. It didn't sit with me as something I could just say to a random, to my friend, right? Or anybody.
Right. Yeah.
So I just feel like with polyvagal, it brings that art, science, and philosophy, and it makes it accessible to our patients. So you're using communication and reading their body language and making them feel comfortable so that they can get that. They can understand chiropractic a little bit better and they can receive chiropractic better. Like if somebody's uncomfortable and not safe, not feeling safe under your hands, We now know because of polyvagal, we know that they're not going to get the greatest benefit out of their adjustment. It might even be opposite. They may tense up or resist you, or go into more of a stressed state. Like they need to feel comfortable. And I feel like as chiropractors, we need to understand that it's not just what we say. It's not just what we do. It's how we make them feel during the adjustment with our communication. It's, you know, making them feel safe. Right. And understanding that side of things. So I just feel like it ties things together. It tells me why my intuition is telling me what I'm telling, what it's telling me, you know,
yes.
I can trust that, oh, this person might not need the cervical adjustment today. They're reacting under my hands, or I can see something in their eyes. Like before it was just like, oh, you know, I couldn't explain it. And now I know that with certainty that they're not feeling safe for some reason, or they're triggered by something, or maybe there's something deeper going on that I have to look into a little bit further. Like I just listen to what my patients are saying to me more, not just in what they're saying, but their body language. Like what's their body telling me?
It's like we always talk that neuroception to neuroception, which that's, again, if you go back to chiropractic language, that's actually innate to innate. But then we can still use just slightly different language, but it still is the same sort of thing where you got neuroception to neuroception, because you can tell like I'm picking something up from that person. But that's what it is. It's just it's the nervous system. It's the language of the nervous system. But now we're just becoming more aware of it and honoring it at the same time.
Yeah.
Was it hard? Like when you first started doing this, was it hard to kind of implement that? Or like when you first started using the principles, like what did you start doing first? Like when you learned this?
I just kind of introduced things more gradually, you know, it was just with people that I knew had something deeper going on, or people who were just chronic and tense and in that constant high vibe, sympathetic tone. I would just now start, when I'm applying more technique, I would start flipping them over more and not just for their C-spine, right? Like I'm approaching more, you know, especially through the shoulders and the ribs and the diaphragm and the hips, and just looking at other things. Like, you know, as an example, a patient I saw today, I've been seeing her for years and years. She's wonderful. She comes for just her monthly checkup. She's, you know, she works really hard, but she just has this chronic low back pain. And I know that. And she's always hyperextended in her spine, like always in her lumbar spine. Mm-hmm. And so I hadn't seen her in a while. And then today I'm like, you know what? Steph, turn over, like roll over for a sec. Let me check something. And then check. I couldn't even touch her pubic bone. Like,
wow.
She's so, so sensitive. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm like this, you know, after how many years of me doing all the adjustments I could think of and trying to unwind it. She's doing all the work and the stretches and unwinding that lumbar curve. But her pubic joint is just like screaming. And I never thought to check that before, right? And now even just doing a little bit of work there and through the inguinal ligament and through the front of her hips and doing those hip openers.
Yes.
She walked away a different person. Like, she's just like, oh, that gives me, you know, I'm feeling so much flow and so much relief and ease through my hips. So just those little things, right? Just recognizing when I can apply more of a ventral vagal input, I think that has made a difference for me for sure.
Yeah. And I think the whole reason we came up with that McDonald's safety portal, our protocol, was just that we found that because people were coming in, especially post-COVID, in such a crazy state of danger, that mm-hmm. it almost like preps them a bit, or it, like we call it, that amplifier, so that it gets the nervous system into more of an open receptive state, so that yeah. the adjustment just has like an amplified effect, because the adjustment's still important. It's just sometimes they got the shields up. I always call it they got the shields up, and it's hard to get it in there.
Yeah.
Get that input in there, right?
Yeah.
That's awesome. So I have a lot of students listening to this podcast too often. And so I always like to ask, if you were to give advice to a student out there, a chiropractic student, what kind of advice would you give a student who's fighting through school?
Honestly, what helped me so much as a student was visiting principled chiropractors' offices and learning about what it means to be in practice, like what it really looks like. As a student, you're just so ingrained with all the information and all of the data and the exams, and you can't really see the big picture of things unless you actually go to see what happens in offices. And like, that gave me so much. Like, I have so many mentors out there now who I still am, you know, connected with, that I could see how an office run, especially for me, for pediatrics, because that's such a big focus for me in my practice. But just to see, you know, what happens, how do you bring that mom and baby through the office? You know, how do you check that little one? You know, what if they're crying? What if they have a problem in their diaper? What do you do? Like, how does it affect the flow? Just all those little things that you never really think about in school. Like, and right. Now in my office, like, we have procedures for that. If there's a diaper, then, you know, someone comes out and helps out, or I go on to the next person and then come back, or, you know, if somebody's crying, staff come back to help me, or they take the toddler away to go play, or whatever it is. Like, we have to set those things up to make our family-friendly office work and not become like a big, you know, constant nightmare of people all over the place and kids running in circles. They always are. It is a bit chaotic, but I had to see how that worked in real life as a student to know. Yeah. Like, right. Find chiropractors in your area or outside your area. Like, we would drive for like 2 hours to go to see principal chiropractors. And it was great. And those chiropractors are always more than willing to open their doors to students. Like, we have students coming in all the time. I love having students come in and watch. Like, it's just eye-opening for them.
Yes. Oh, it's funny because I had one student who observed, and she had asked like 3 or 4 other offices, and they were not comfortable with her observing. And so,
really?
But you shouldn't be observing them anyway if they don't want you to see, if they don't eat in there.
Yeah, that should be red flags. You right. should be seeing people who want you in with open arms. Like,
oh,
they want to show you the truth about chiropractic. Yeah.
Next question is, you go back to your 18 years old self, if you could go through a time warp and give yourself one bit of advice, what kind of advice would you give your younger self?
18. Oh my gosh. That's my daughter's age right now. She's 18. what would I tell myself? I would say probably just to be myself and trust myself and not worry about what everyone else is thinking around you. Like, I don't know, as a teenager, it's hard. They're always trying to impress their friends. They're always worried about what the next guy's doing or what the next girl is doing. And yeah, like now we think about that, we're like, that's ridiculous. You know, like, how do we live through that? Yeah. I was always one to just not follow along with the status quo and the norm. Like, I was always wanted to question things, but I always did kind of worry about what other people were thinking. And now I'm just like, screw them. It doesn't really matter. I'm going to follow my own. Yeah.
Going to do my own thing. Well, yeah, again, I think that's part of that interception to part of polyvagal as well, is that, like, often when we're younger, often told not to honor sometimes, or we learn that we're not to honor our feelings inside and more put more emphasis on external, what other people think.
Validation.
Right?
Yeah.
But I think that's also part of growing up, but that's.
It is. So it's easier said than done, for sure, in the moment, right? With the 100%. pressures of things. But yeah, now it just seems so insignificant looking back on that, those big feelings, right?
Totally. I'd be like, if this is bugging me now, in 40 years, how am I going to think about this? And then that sometimes put in perspective, if you're like, oh, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
Now we have in closing for this podcast, we have, you know, chiropractors all over the world. Some are early in practice. Some might be stressed out. Again, as we know, we've traveled a lot with putting on our seminars again, that there are some chiropractors in there. They're silently struggling. So if you have any like parting words of wisdom that you'd like to share with everybody out there, what would you like to leave everybody with?
For chiropractors who are struggling?
Yeah.
Or
looking for some inspiration, you know, listening to the podcast on the way to work.
Well, good job listening to this, you know. take in all the positive, for sure. Like, that's what I do to get through things, is, you know, listen to positive podcasts and things that you're passionate about, and do things that you love. Like, you have to have things in your life that bring you joy, right? And that helps to counter all the stress of practice and the finances and the kids and the busyness. Especially for moms, like, especially for chiropractors who are also moms and going through that crazy world of kids wrangling.
Yes.
And trying to grow your practice. Like, I went through that, and it's hard. There's a lot of really hard years in there. And I think it's important to still find things that move you. You know, as a mom, you feel like you have no identity, like, you're mom this, mom that. And then in your practice, then you're all of a sudden just taking care of all your patients and you're there for them. But I think it's important to also hold on to your own joys and do things that just stir you still and make you tick, you know, and taking time for those things. And even now, I still have to make sure I take time for myself too, and not just taking care of other people, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think we haven't even had to have kids, and I haven't had the experience being a mom, but I know, like, growing a practice and a marriage and working together as a family is in practice is challenging, and I can't even imagine it being a mom. Mm. We see so many female chiropractors at a lot of our events, and like they're the troopers of the profession, I think, because you see what they can do with how much stuff they have to do, but also how vitally important it is for them to take time and actually look after themselves with self-care, because as the caregiver for your family and for your practice, super important that you stay healthy, because we can't help people if we're injured or sick or run down or losing our mind. So,
And I mean, and you have to kind of, you know, do what you tell your patients to do, right? And I know I was guilty of that for so many years too. And I'm like, the bread and butter of my practice is pediatrics and their moms, the kids and their moms. And the moms I see are so run down, and they have horrible posture, and they're just like, their kids have been taken care of first, right? And they're in that like flexor tension constantly, from cradling babies and nursing babies and taking care of babies and carrying babies. And every time I say that to a new mom who's had her kid under care for several months, and then she decides to come in, she's like, oh yeah, that's me. That's me. I feel like I'm like this all the time, like the rounded shoulders, right? And that's from not being aware at all to what her what their body's telling them, right? Taking care of everybody else and not giving yourself that time to unwind and come out of that protected state. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we see new moms doing it all the time. And I think new chiropractor moms is probably tenfold. Oh. And get adjusted. Make sure you're getting adjusted. That's another terrible thing. I'm lucky I've got three other chiros taking care of me, but those solo mom practitioners, like, they have to make an effort to go out and get adjusted for sure.
That's awesome. Well, well, I want to thank you for taking the time to sharing your story with us on the podcast. I really appreciate it today. Thank you very much.
It's been awesome. It's been my pleasure. Thank you, Don.
Yes. And I hope everybody else got some really good information out there about balancing life and practice and getting mentorship and all that kind of stuff and working with your spouses. We had lots of stuff we covered today. So that was really wonderful. And for everyone out there, until next time, shift on.